Everyone, and welcome to The Shit Show with J-Bo. In this episode, we talk with Nathan Rodriguez. He is the lead singer of a three-piece band out of Seattle called So Pitted. They signed to Sub Pop a while back, and now they're putting out their first record. It's called Neo. It's really good. It's weird. It's dark. It's aggressive. It's original. I highly recommend it. I wanted to thank Sub Pop for giving us permission to use one of the songs at the end of this interview. So at the very end, listen for Rot in Hell by So Pitted. I also wanted to thank Sean Ruffner for helping me produce the music. The theme song that I wrote at the beginning, he helped produce. And then the music you hear right now, this little pad that's going on, this cool little thing, that's Sean Ruffner. Thanks, man. So everybody else, sit back and enjoy Nathan Rodriguez of the band So Pitted talking about the new Sub Pop record, Neo. Out now, everywhere, globally. This is The Shit Show with J-Bo. We'll talk soon.
I'm speaking to Nathan Rodriguez, lead singer of So Pitted. Yes?
Yes.
And you just put out a record that, well, actually, it's coming out, well, very shortly on Sub Pop. Congratulations on that signing. And it's called Neo.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. I guess my first question is naivete, being naive, in music, in particular in So Pitted, is that something you strive for? Is naivete in music a good thing for you?
Naivete?
Yeah. Being naive.
I think so. I think so. It is, but it's like something it's kind of hard to like make that happen. It kind of only happens based on like, yeah, what you are. So I think it is important because, like, that what you're naive to is kind of shaped on, like, your own experience. So it's important to experience whatever you do to make the stuff you do. And it's weird because, like, naivety is kind of, like, it's, like, the result of what you haven't experienced.
Right.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So it's, like, it's pretty interesting. That's, like, pretty... You know, there's so many different things that'll shape that those feelings or those thoughts of like
when I hear So Pitted, I hear some of that, and it's very powerful music. But I hear like just exploring and like kind of throwing theory and technique kind of to the side and just going for it. Is that kind of your approach? I mean, are you just blindly just screaming down through the forest doing this thing?
Personally, from my perspective, it's like really heavy in theory.
Okay.
It's kind of like, more than anything, I feel like I know music theory probably better than I know how to play guitar. I taught myself music theory when I was in high school, and it's something I've always like, I think about it all the time.
No shit.
And it's like a direct, my knowledge of music theory is like a direct reference to like my own ideas of like what, I don't know, the music I don't want to make, music I do want to make, you know, like stuff that has been done, intervals. I think about intervals a lot and what intervals I would like to have represent me versus the intervals I don't want to have represent me. For example, like I'm kind of over like, I don't really relate to blues music that much. And it's nothing against the people who've created blues music, but more so against the people that have taken and repurposed blues music to what it is in music nowadays. And so it's like that, those are like the intervals that are used in that kind of music are like stuff that I kind of avoid.
Now, when you say intervals, like, spaces between parts of songs, is that what you mean, or intervals stylistically? How do you mean that?
Intervals musically, like pitch by pitch. Oh,
okay.
And
I see.
Composition.
Okay.
So like pitch intervals,
I don't even know what that is, but it sounds very, very interesting. You must know some shit.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, like, you know, I think about a lot of things like that. Like every performance is a choice. You know, like everyone chooses to play what they play. It's not like anyone's making them play that. Even though you did write it a certain way, it's like you at the end of the day who's playing it like that. And I guess that's it. I really want to be able to play stuff I can enjoy, not regret. And just kind of exploring that. And I think, yeah, so like there's a lot of pitch intervals that are just like have been so tired. Like they've just been repurposed and like just been made so tired.
Okay.
And, like just in our, I would just say in our social, just in our consciousness, like they just exist in this way to where they just like promote this idea that I'm kind of over that. I don't relate to it. I don't know.
So the idea
more than that.
The idea of doing something original very much appeals to you. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it is like an exploration, and it is like searching for something original, and like because songwriting it's pretty easy, but like dynamic songwriting is really hard.
Yeah, very interesting. Now, I was reading about the metaphor for your band's name, and as I was reading it, I remember thinking about Silk Pit. Just before, I just would see you guys' name all around Seattle. It feels like you guys have been working so hard, like one of the hardest working bands. That's why I had you on my show a while back. I was like, these guys are just kicking ass. And then I heard this stuff on SoundCloud, and it reminded me in a very cool way, like aggressive, like the Pixies or something. That was my reference point.
Cool.
Tell me about the metaphor for So Pitted. It bears repeating. How'd you come upon that band name? It's very cool.
A person who used to be in our band when we first started, his name was Tyler Everett. And we were trying to think of band names, and I thought of all these cheesy ones. And one day he came up with So Pitted. And I don't know, it was kind of cool. I didn't know what it meant. He just saw this YouTube video where someone had said it in that video, and he was describing it to me, and I was like, I guess that sounds kind of cool. But he described it to me as like someone like pretty much just like following through with your passion and not submitting to fear. You know, even though things do seem like they're going to go against you, like following what you want over reacting to fear.
Attempting to be rewarded to not giving in to the fear, like by actually pursuing what you need.
The universe. You can like chase something. You can chase something that you, because you already know what's going to happen if you fail. You know, like in the term "so pitted," it's like it occurs as you're surfing on a wave, and as the wave like starts to barrel. The wave starts to form a barrel behind you, and you could either bail off the wave, which is pretty easy, or, you know, you just like turn to the right and you're fine. You don't even have to do it, but then you can just continue to ride the wave even longer and just get sucked into the barrel. And the moment when you get pulled into the barrel, that's when you're so pitted, because you're in the pit of the barrel.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Honestly, I mean, it's cool to think about, but honestly, it's like not, it's more of an afterthought than anything. This point, it's not like something that like really I like saying our band name. I like our band name, but
yeah,
for whatever, it's not like something, I don't know, I don't really say our band name. I don't really use So Pitted as a term.
right.
Like it's not like something I would like. I'm like, you're about to get so pitted. Like I would never, I don't know. It's like I'm pretty happy with the way it ended up. But definitely, yeah, it's a kind of like an afterthought.
Okay, fair enough.
At this point, I don't know what else we could even be named, so I'm pretty happy for that.
I think it sticks out there, man. I think it's very, very cool. So you have some theory in that brain of yours, and I know I've gathered from a few things that you love Elliott Smith and bands like that and Radiohead.
Yes.
I've seen you perform some Radiohead at an open mic, and it was like, It's like I couldn't take my eyes off the performance, man. I don't know if that sounds weird, but it was just so strange to me because you weren't trying to really sing like Tom York might sing. You kind of very much had this like punk, kind of dark, like kind of teenage vibe happening. And I'm just like, my curiosity just comes from, so you like those bands evidently, but your music, it's so pitted, is very much to me kind of like an exorcism, quite dark. So where does that come from? Where does that influence? And are there bands out there that you in any way tried to emulate? Where does this darkness and the exorcistic quality that I'm feeling, where does it come from, man?
I'm not really sure. I think it's weird because, like, it kind of came from exploring music in a way that I haven't done. And I don't know. I just haven't done that. I'm trying to think specifically. Before we sounded like this, I think I was a little more impressed with garage rock.
Okay.
The current, like, there's like a, you know, garage rock craze. I think it's still probably even happening with like Burger Records and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I was kind of impressed by that. And like, that's kind of, you know, like I was dating a girl at the time that was impressed by that. And so it's just like all these different priorities kind of reinforcing the music I wanted to make. And like, I kind of feel like that's true for anyone. You know, you want to be closer to what you like.
Okay.
And at a certain point, I just didn't like it anymore. I just kind of looked at it and I was like, I don't like this. I mean, I was like, this isn't like what I want. And
yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to say exactly like how I was able to emulate it. But I think first off, I just started playing songs a lot slower.
Okay.
Like we were a much faster band before, and now we're pretty, I don't know. It wasn't even like, I don't even think we're slow, but we just played songs that like are more, I don't know, there's just more space. There's just more space to feel and think about what was happening. And even like for people listening to our music, I feel like it's like that now too. Like they just have more room for, they have more time to like listen and think about what's happening instead of just being like speedy, thrashy punk. And
okay,
I don't know, like, you asked me, like, what I'm trying to emulate. I guess I don't know, really. I think Nirvana and Nine Inch Nails are, like, bands that, like, you know, I definitely think they've done really cool things. And they
yeah.
sound really good. But I think there's, like, at least in the scheme of Nirvana, I still think it's, like, a little, it, like, kind of, like, was a little short-sighted. And like what they are able to do, you know, because of, I mean, we all know now, we know the full story at this point. And like, he wasn't able to like, there's just so many things keeping their music from being what it could be.
Huh. Like what? Like,
I think their music's amazing, but I think there's like this idea, there's a lot of ideas in Kurt Cobain's music that kind of reinforce, I don't know, like he couldn't, like he's just like was pretty helpless in some ways and like couldn't get over certain thoughts of himself. Like he like had a really hard time accepting himself, it seemed like. And also I think his relationship to Courtney Love kind of like, I don't know, took over his life.
I think and the baby
took over his life in a way.
Having a baby and all that. Yeah, it would probably.
Yeah, I mean, that happened, but it's just like in a weird thing where it's like, it just became all that really mattered to him. And that's like, that's fine, but.
Some codependence like, happening, perhaps?
Yeah, it's just like this weird thing. I think people link, it's a whole other thing, but I think people link partnerships to survival. And when the idea that your partnership might fail,
right,
is like, when that becomes present, I think a lot of people, you know, they feel like their survival's threatened. And so people just kind of do weird things after that. Or they do weird things to protect that or reinforce it. And so it's just like you kind of are constantly reacting to all these things that you're just doing just because you want to survive. And that's not really, in a weird way, it's like not really even a choice. You know, he's just making all these reactions. And I kind of feel like that, like, I don't know. yeah, I kind of just reinforced the suicide.
Okay. Is a sense of humor important to Soap Pitted at all?
Huh?
Is a sense of humor important to Soap Pitted?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely.
I think humor is, some of the most serious people are humorous. I think humor is like a great, humor is like almost like a form of expression. It is a form of expression. And it's so interesting because like how people can use humor, it can just show, it shows so much about what they are seeing, and it just gives so much room for you to see in them. And that's so cool. It's just really, it's really amazing. Humor is so great. It's like a form of criticism. I think humor is like a form of criticism, and it's, I think criticism is a form of expression. And it's really strange. Criticism is really undervalued in our society, at least for what it is. I mean, it's just like, it shows so much about where a person's coming from and what their perspective is. It's so amazing. It's like, rather than like what they're just saying on a surface level, on a deeper level, you can make insight on that person's life and their bigotries based on like how they criticize something and what their perspective is on anything. It's just so cool. And so I think humor is a big part of that.
Now, what the heck was, so, you know, Soap Pitted, I noticed a certain work ethic with your band, and the name definitely stuck out. How long have you guys been a band, and how did it work getting signed to Sub Pop? I mean, I felt like your band was on a mission and would play anywhere, anytime, on any night, anything at all. And, I've been in bands and stuff, and it's like, man, the thought would enter my mind, like, this band is playing too much. There's no way they're bringing people out to each one of those shows. But somehow you guys just forged onward. Do you feel like you were on a mission to kind of be where you are today when you were coming up?
I kind of feel like we're reacting to the current music scene in Seattle. Or it could be the current music scene in America at the moment. I think, I'm not sure. I haven't been around America enough to know if it's like this anywhere else, but I have a feeling it is. I feel like Facebook reinforces this, but kind of seem like a lot of bands, they develop these support networks to reinforce their band. And I always kind of thought that was kind of phony in a weird way. I mean, it's really cool, you know, support. It's like nice to have a family, but instead of like having people who value your music, like for what it is, you have people who value you over your music,
friends.
Where I feel like that's kind of like, oh, this doesn't feel special. It didn't feel real. And so I think that is just kind of really prevalent in our music scene in so many different ways. And it's cool. It's like a lot of people do it, but like, I just didn't feel like I was a part of that, or I didn't feel like we were a part of that. And so we tried this thing kind of where we played as many shows as we would like to, and we didn't promote them at all because we didn't want to depend on our support. We didn't want to create a support network for us to survive on. We wanted to be able to create, you know, we just wanted to be able to like be our own thing. We didn't need anyone else to survive. Well, there's a lot of bands that are like, we need your help. I don't need anyone's help. You know what I mean? Like, we're very like independent, do it like we did it ourselves. And it was weird because like a lot of people have developed these expectations, like you need to promote your shows, you need to do this, you need to have a support network to be in on this community. And it's like, no, you don't. You don't actually have to do anything. You don't have to do anything other than make music and perform it.
Right.
Even performing it is a luxury.
And if they're willing to book you, you're willing to play.
Yeah. And that's like, you know, it's weird. It's just, so that was a big thing that happened. And it was cool because then, like, we were able to create our own, like, you know, I didn't have to expect any friends to come to our shows. Sometimes people wouldn't come to our shows, and it was fine. Like, it was okay. It'd just be, like, playing again. We definitely don't play like that anymore. We couldn't sustain that forever. But it was nice. Sub Pop, so they came to a show of ours. This guy, Dean, who works at Sub Pop, came to a show of ours at the last Heartland show. It's called Fest, or RIP Fest. We practiced at Heartland for about 6 or 7 months. So they asked us to play there. And Dean saw us there for the first time, and after the show, or after the set, he's like, that was amazing. That's great. Do you guys have any recordings? And we had just finished recording our own album, and we were mixing it at the time. And they're like, yeah, we're mixing it, but I have no idea how long it's going to take to mix. And so they waited around for that, and then we finished mixing the record, and we sent it to Sub Pop, and then they made us wait for quite a while before making a decision, but then they finally did, and now we're on Sub Pop.
Congratulations.
I'd say it's probably about 8 months. Like, we've been on our album. Yeah. I think a big thing is, like, kind of like with the, I don't know, since we haven't really developed a support network around our band, even though we had like these really cool recordings, they couldn't really tell how much people actually liked us. Do you know what I mean? They couldn't really tell. It wasn't like really obvious. And also, it's like kind of like risky to, like, you know, they're signing a band that won't promote themselves. Like, it's like, that's like counterproductive to selling records. And it's like, you know, I mean, I'll talk about our shows now, and I'll post shit on Facebook or whatever, but like, I don't know. Like, it feels weird to be held to any standard of, like, because, like, that's it. Like, when you're promoting yourself, that is, like, you're expressing, it's just a form of expression, and I feel weird about expressing things I don't necessarily want to express. And then I feel like that comes out like that. Like, it's just, like, doesn't really feel like this is genuine. Like, I even care. I guess I'm just sensitive to that.
How much power does So Pitted yield live, man? You guys put it out. You feel like you're a powerful band? You feel like people really react on a kind of a primal level?
Yeah, I feel like we're pretty powerful. I feel like I can do anything I want. Yeah, I feel powerful. I feel like we've been able to create sounds that I never knew that we could create. And a lot of it just, like, took, like, just thinking about, like, what I wanted out of music and, like, really, I don't know, just getting rid of a lot. Like, I used to write songs where I would, like, write all these parts to really get you set up for this one part. But then I didn't really like all these filler parts. And I was like, wow, can I write songs that don't have any filler? And that was, like, kind of my challenge to myself. And I don't know. It's like, yeah, developing something that I would like to listen to again. Because I guess I had that with my old songs. Like, I didn't really care about listening to my own music. That was, like, the big thing of it. And I was like, if I don't care about it, why should anyone else?
You enjoy it. You listen to it, and it fucking rocks.
I love our music. It's great.
Great, man.
It's not perfect. It's not perfect, but it's great. It's really great. I've been able to do something that I never thought I could do.
Where'd you come from, Nathan? And where are you going? Where do you come from, man? Are you from Seattle? Or no?
I was born in California. I was born in Lancaster, which is in Southern California.
Uh-huh.
And I moved around all over California. I lived close to Shasta Lake in Northern California for a while, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the mountains.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I lived there for about 7 or 8 years.
Near the Trinity Alps.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful up there. But it's also kind of horrible and isolated in other ways.
Hey, Fort California. I got friends down there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's interesting. It's nice to go back, but I moved to Seattle for high school when I was 13. It was such a huge culture shock for me because I just had grown up so isolated that it took me a little while to adjust, but I feel fine now. I've lived in Seattle for about 14 years.
Yeah.
Now since I've been here.
So you're about, what, 28? Is that the right math? 27? How old?
27.
27. Awesome. So I want you to think about your latest record, Neo, and I want, is there any particular lyric that sticks out to you? When I say great lyric, something that you're proud of, I've listened,
yes,
three times today. Is there one that you can kind of tell me a little bit about it? Like an amazing lyric that you love from that record.
There's a song called Cat Scratch on that record. It's our first song. And pretty much it's the chorus of that song. It's something that it took me a lot of work to do that. It's probably, I don't know, vocals are kind of hard for me, and it took me a lot of work in like rewriting to kind of get it. I'd say usually my first effort at writing vocals is never ever used. And
right.
It's usually like, yeah, I don't know. I kind of have to like, it's weird because it's like I try to write vocals while I'm playing guitar, and I don't think I should do that. I think I should try to write. I usually do write vocals when I'm not playing guitar. I just have to get to know the song well enough
to write
vocals. But the lyrics is in the song Cat Scratch, and the lyrics is, I'm gonna get rich like this, going to do all the things I want to do, and then I'll go to school, you know, I'm so much more than you will ever be. And it's just like this, I don't know, it's like weird, like this idea. I kind of wrote the song about someone else, but now I kind of feel like it's more about me than anyone else. But like this idea of like confidence, of like blind overconfidence, of like how I'm going to take care of myself and what's going to happen to me. Like in every way, like I'm going to get rich like this, doing exactly what I'm doing. I'll go to school when I feel like going to school. You know, I'll figure out what I need to do when I need to do it. And that's so much more than you will ever be.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, there's something that's so tight, at least being in a room full of people singing sometimes and like having like a whole crowd of people who are pretty sterile staring at us. And I could just scream that at them.
right.
You know, and it's just, it's nice. It's cool with So Pitted. I really appreciate it now. Like people don't really like thrash to our band. Which makes me really happy. Like people like to watch us.
Yeah.
And people will dance a little bit, but they really like to watch us, which is like nice because like we're pretty loud and everything. But it's nice to not really have like macho. To have our we don't have like the most macho expression like around our band. And that's like something I'm pretty sensitive to. Like I want to like be able to look at like a lot of machoism and avoid it.
Like Limp Bizkit being the prime purveyors of this kind of thing, right? That type of thing as far as, like, mainstream shit goes?
Yeah, like, you know, like, thrashing, hurting people. Like, I don't want to hurt anyone. I don't want to use my physicality to show my strength. I want to show my strength by, I guess it's a big thing with So Pitted is, like, I wanted to, like, access, like, a deeper level of strength. And, like, as I've, like, gotten to explore what strength is, it seems like strength is, it's like having access to power that you don't necessarily need to use. That to me seems the most powerful.
Walk
like
silently.
Excess.
But carry a
big
stick. Or something like that.
Yeah, like, you know, like I don't ever need to use that. Like, or what, what was it? It was like, there's a tarot card that kind of represents it where there's a lion and it shows like this priestess next to the lion with one hand holding the lion's mouth shut.
Right.
And that's just like the idea. Like strength doesn't have to be so obvious. It's like to have strength, it's like, yeah, it's just like such an interesting thing to think about, like how to be strong.
Well, very, very fucking cool, man. Very, very cool. And I'll tell you, that's about a half hour here, and that's a great way to end it. It feels like it was 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's fast.
Dude, that was so cool. I want to thank you, and I'm going to put this out in the next couple days, my man, and look forward to seeing you guys again. I did see you at the Black Lodge just once, and it was really great.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. But have a great day, and we'll
too.
Be in touch. Look for this podcast, all right?
Yeah, thank you for the words about the open mic. You know, I was telling someone today, I think that open mic night changed the way I will write music forever.
That particular night?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, that was so rewarding. Because I've always, I've always sang with, like, a wall of volume behind me, and that was, like, one of the first times I got to use my voice in a public situation where there wasn't. It was just, like, I got to hear my voice, and I love my voice. So.
It was very interesting. It was very interesting, man, because I think you were riding that line between, like, this guy really knows what he's doing, or maybe doesn't. Like, I can't quite tell, but I can't take my eyes off him. You know, that's kind of how I felt. And I felt like the room was that way. So, great fucking job, man.
Thank you. Cool.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, yeah. Have a great day, Jay. Thank you for the interview.
You're welcome, man. Hey, talk later. All right. Have a good one.
All right. Bye.
See you, dude.